Welcome to Pentecost Sunday, and you may be wondering, what is Pentecost, and why is it so important? Well, Pentecost is the seventh Sunday after Easter, and so the word Pentecost literally means 50th, for it is the 50th day after Easter, and Pentecost is the third of kind of the big three Christian holidays or holy days of the year, along with Christmas and Easter. Together, these three days essentially tell the story of the Christian church through Jesus' birth and life and resurrection. And then the last piece of the puzzle, if you will, the sending of the promised Holy Spirit at Pentecost, which is the Spirit of Christ poured out upon the church, fulfilling Jesus' promise to be with us always. And that moment is considered the beginning or the birthday of the church. And that's what we celebrate today, new life and new beginnings and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the reason Pentecost is or should be so important is it's really the last Christian holiday left that has yet to be, commercialized or become about or represented by something else, right? There is no Pentecost bunny that I'm aware of, thank the Lord. There is no mythical figure like the fire fairy that comes and gives gifts at Pentecost. And so it's something we can really lean into, right? That's truly a uniquely church and Christian celebration. And just like during Advent and Christmas, when we read the texts associated with Jesus' birth and first coming, and just like at Good Friday and Easter, we read the texts about his crucifixion and resurrection, so on Pentecost, there is also a story and a text that we read, which is Acts 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so would you stand with me just to honor God's word and hear some of this story this morning. So I'm going to read the first four verses of Acts 2. If you have a Bible, you can open it there. And then I'm going to read the last verses of Acts 2 in 42 through 47. But it says this: when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then verse 42, the result of all of this, and there's the whole story that happens in between, but it says that here's what the early church did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those being saved. May God bless the reading of his holy word. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We actually had a flood in here yesterday, and so we were running fans all night and this morning. But we didn't leave them out because we thought you might think we're really trying to manufacture the wind of the Spirit. We're not trying to do that, okay? We'll just let the Spirit go ahead and do what the Spirit does. It doesn't need the help of fans. So after this first Pentecost, the story is that the church really exploded in growth. So what made it so appealing, and that's my title this morning, is Pentecost Appeal. Why did this event, in the words of Acts 17, verse 6, turn the world upside down? Well, it's right here at the end of Acts in verses 42 to 47. So here are kind of seven markers of appeal of the church at Pentecost, what made it appealing is that these people were devoted in worship, right? People want to see something real that means something to people. They performed miracles. They shared everything in common with each other. They took care of those in need. They experienced incredibly close relationships and joy that came from that. They had favor with the surrounding people and communities and organizations around them. And then they just grew like crazy. It says they added to their number daily as they worshiped. But I want to focus in here on numbers 3 and 4. A lot of times I think people only focus on the signs and wonders when it comes to Pentecost. And those are very real, and we believe in them and we pray for them. But overlook, I think, what we could call the ethical influence of the spirits. Meaning after the Spirit was given to the church, they lived radically different lives. So I want to share some reflections and thoughts on these two points and how the Spirit is helping move us in some of these directions here at Oceanside, both now and as we move forward together. So first, the church was appealing because they shared all things in common. It says, verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Older translations, which is how I learned it, do say all things in common. So that's kind of stuck in my head, and so that's what's up there. But why did the early church grow so rapidly and become so appealing, essentially overnight? Of course, the number one reason is the life-changing and transforming power of the resurrected Christ that they experienced, which proved that Jesus was, in fact, God in the flesh, as we've been talking about since Easter. But the result of the infilling of the Spirit was this deep love for each other and a sense of belonging, a quite literal spiritual bond. And based on the example of Jesus, and as a result of the Spirit being poured out on the early church, they no longer treated possessions as their own, realizing that all is God's, and all belongs to God, and therefore God's people. And this is something that naturally takes place in a church. For example, I'm aware of stories of people, constantly sharing their resources with each other, treating them not as belonging to themselves, but to everyone and those around them. I know people who have opened up their homes to give people a place to stay or a place to live, or rented an extra space at just way below market value to someone who needed it. I recently know of stories of people lending their cars to people who temporarily needed one. And I could feel the rest of this morning. It was just stories of people from this church giving something they had to someone who needed it, giving rides to the hospital, and just so much more. I've been a part of this church for, 10 years, and so I can just look around my house and see how this works, right? My dining room table and chairs, my little breakfast nook table and chairs as well, were all given to us when we moved here and didn't have those things to fill those spaces. Our bedroom furniture was given to us by someone in the church downsizing. Same with a trampoline and a deep freezer, and I could just really go on and on. And that's because, I've been here for a while, and that's what God's people do for each other. And now a lot of our stuff is in other people's homes now that we've been here a long time as well. So this happens, really best organically. It happens in life groups, as you care for one another, in relationships with people. But as the church gets bigger, we also want to intentionally create more opportunities for this. So we're launching a new ministry or program called The Attic, which stands for All Things in Common. And you can find some on the website. Yes, it is very exciting. And like a lot of things we've done over the years, and even like the early church, in a lot of ways, we're going to think big, but we got to start small because you got to start somewhere. And I had this idea, and particularly the name, many years ago, and I just kind of set it aside and was waiting for the Lord's timing to be right. But, you know, I eventually envisioned this as an entire wing or building that we have as a church, where we share our resources with our community. Things can be borrowed and checked out and lended or just given away. So I have, you know, big vision for it, but for now, it's just starting as a very humble page on our website, as well as a weekly printout that you can find each week here in the building. But this is a way to share our resources with each other in a fun way, but also in a way that meets existing needs. And I see this mostly as a place, particularly where people are submitting what they're in need of, right? Whether permanently or temporarily. And then people who are regularly visiting the page, and we'll constantly be linking to it in different ways, and are looking for, okay, some people need? What are people looking to borrow? Can I meet that need? I would love to meet that need. God has really blessed me with more than I could ever ask for or imagine. How can I help others with this? And the freely giving and exchanging of these things, and, you know, could be a lot of different things, right? Could be a power washer, could be decorations for a birthday party. Why go buy more when somebody else just has them sitting there? Could be a ride that you need to certain appointments or to the grocery store, whatever it might be. And then other people saying, hey, I can do that. You know, I could part with that item or that thing, or I could lend that. So we'll send out more information and give more examples in the coming weeks. Do make sure you're subscribed to our e-newsletter, which you can do with the card in front of you, or on our website and our social media, which is where we'll kind of tell you more about these things and update you. But for now, you can visit the page by clicking Attic at the top of our website, or the drop down if you're on a mobile. And we're also printing a weekly update in the hallway there next to our new missions area that's featured there as well. So right now, it's mostly stuff that I've just put on there because nobody knew about it, and we wanted a few things. But there's a form you can submit, things that you have. And so again, we're going to think big, but we're going to just start small, get it going. The next marker of appeal of a Spirit-filled church is that they took care of those in need. Verse 45 says, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. One of the things that made the early church so appealing and gave it so much favor, as is mentioned here, is the movement toward the equality of all peoples, regardless of race, class, socioeconomics, age, gender, or ability. For God said in Acts 2:27 or 2:17, I will pour out my spirit on all people, regardless. See, God never intended for there to be haves and have-nots in the church. And actually, he never intended it for the world in general. That's a problem we've created in our sin and in our greed. Many of you know about our Good Food program in partnership with Nanaimo Food Share. So the way this works is our church picks up all the bags every week down in Nanaimo, brings them to this area for distribution and pickup. We make this a warm and hospitable environment. We provide free popcorn and coffee, and we see ourselves as way more than just distributing bags, but really just being a place where people can find joy and hopefully just be a highlight in their week. It's something that we can feel really good about being a part of, and providing fresh fruits and vegetables in these bags at a reduced and reasonable price. But even at $15 a bag, we know cost is a barrier for some, and keeping the program from really growing and reaching more people. And, you know, we want to really make it worth coming here to the church to pick up this bag. And so, Lord willing, starting with our July 3rd distribution, we are launching a new initiative and faith dream by offering these bags for $5 to our community. And this is not a need-based program. It is for all We just want to be a blessing to our community and show that we care. We know that the cost of food is tough, no matter kind of what socioeconomic place that you're in, and that we just want to help, and especially with healthy food options. So although it's not need-based, we do know that nearly one in every five families live in food-insecure households. And that's about 7 million Canadians, right, including about 1.8 million children who are food insecure. And so our daily breakfast program at our local elementary school is a part of helping meet that need, particularly when it comes to kids. But we want to expand our reach. And, you know, part of the call of God's people going all the way back to Genesis 12 is that God's people would just be known as a people of blessing. And so that's how we want to be known. Another addition we have already started a bit due to generous donations, and we want to continue to expand, is actually adding, in addition to the fruits and vegetables, a protein option here. And so we've been doing a half dozen eggs for people that want them, and we want to continue to dream big on that. We put a little sticker on it that just says a gift from Oceanside Community Church so that people know that we're caring for them. And I'd love to add other things like a bag of coffee from the church or a bag of healthy nuts. So if you have 100 of something and you want to just kind of bring it by, let us know, and we can work it out and donate it 1 week. Just keep it healthy is kind of all that we ask. So just like the attic, you know, I see this as small beginnings, right? The mustard seed of faith, something that, you know, eventually, Lord willing, is going to be one of the biggest, most generous, most well-known outreaches in the Mid-Island area. And if you read on a couple of chapters in Acts, all the way to chapter 6, as the church continued to grow, it says that they were to the point where it says in verse 1 of chapter 6, there was the daily distribution of food. Every day they were distributing food to those in need. But for now, the best way is to start small. And so in the coming weeks, we'll tell you how you can be a part of it, how you can help make it happen and come to life, because it's going to take a lot, including money. We're committed to a six-month trial or pilot where we've saved some reserves. We've also applied for and received a $4,000 grant from Parksville-Qualicum Beach Community Foundation. But that will all dry up in just a few months, so stay tuned for how you can help on that and more info, but we're excited about this. So inwardly, the church post-Pentecost shared all things in common, right? And then outwardly, they took care of those in need around them. And because of all this, we learn that the church added to the number daily those who were being saved. What does that mean? It means to be saved from the sin that separates us from God and from a life separated from God and God's forever family. And people who found this hope, who were saved from it, it's no wonder they were more than happy to just give all that they had away, because they had received the good news of what we call salvation. And what's one of the ways they knew they were adding to the number? How did they know? Well, people got baptized. And so the last point is kind of the baptism appeal, if you will. I'm changing the meaning or use of the word a bit. But read what happens in Acts 2. After the Spirit is poured out, Peter gives a message explaining what this all means. And then he says in verse 37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and other apostles, "What shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I'm kind of like, that's a bicep workout. 3,000 of those, man. Baptism is the call to die to sin and to live the resurrection life found through Christ. And part of the message of Pentecost is that you are not too young. You are not too old. You are not too broken, too damaged, too poor, too lost, too hurting to be saved and be invited into what God is doing, or to be invited into these waters of baptism if you've never done so. And you know, just making an inward decision in your heart or in your mind is not enough. Because Peter clearly says here, repent, that's what happens inside, that's what you do inwardly, but it's joined with and cannot be separated with, and be baptized. Do something outwardly that shows the transformation you've experienced inwardly. And to repent means to turn from your sin in one way of living and to go in an entirely new direction. And being baptized represents that your old life is gone. Your old life goes under the water. And now you have a new life in Christ as you come out of the water. You've left that old life behind. It is forgiven in the past. And you are now a new creation in Christ. And sin has been defeated. So we already have people ready to be baptized today, including in this service. We have, I think, at least 5 lined up in the next service. We've already, people who have already said, I want to take that step. They've taken the baptism class. They've sat down for a meeting with a pastor. But this morning, we're going to do something also that we don't always do, but that makes sense on Pentecost. We're going to ask you to consider being baptized if you never have, and if you want to follow Jesus. And you don't have to have it all figured out or all of your questions answered. You simply have to affirm what baptism represents. Namely, do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and then rose again on the 3rd day? And have you committed your life to following Jesus no matter what as your Lord and as your Savior?